in the back. We want to have a mic out there. It hasn't been, although there's certainly room in the fellowship hall for that kind of a thing. That's one of the more details that we could get into as we move down this and flesh out the program. Right now we're kind of working on big, major spaces, but there's nothing I don't think that could preclude that from taking place. Good question. Did everyone hear? Other questions?
Okay, the pop quiz is going to be handed out in just about 30 seconds.
We're starting with one basic plan that we add to all of these different areas as we go along.
Yeah, it's kind of like playing the old game of cooties. Do you remember that game? You have to roll a one or a two to get the body first, which is Genesis. And then you can roll any dice you want to put the legs in or the face in. So, yeah, you have to really kind of roll the one or two to start the game. So we have to probably put Genesis together because it puts the infrastructure and it provides solutions to most of your first upfront needs. And then it's allowed to expand as you guys need to. That's a good question. Now's no time to be shy. Yeah, in front.
Are the plans to just forego the whole soccer field and not do anything with that?
The plans have room for a youth children's soccer field. So, yeah, it's not a full-size soccer field. As you can see, it would take the size of half that the site you currently have. So, yeah, the decision was made to be able to serve the community in other ways besides having a full-size soccer field. Good question.
John, are you waving or do you have a question? Okay.
Hi, Rachel.
So, all right. So, I mean, I tell you what. Can you folks turn to page 11?
In your missal?
Yes. Turn to page 11 for a second. So no one had any concerns about our initial building design?
They may not have been able to see it very well.
Okay. I mean, if you're looking at page 11, is there anything there that raises any questions for you? And this is not accusatory. I'm just trying to make sure everybody understands where we're at and what's happening here. Yes?
Are those the little circles with the X on top, are those trees or are they acoustic tables or outside the building?
What would you like to be the right answer?
No. There is no right answer. It was just a question.
Those represent flowering trees of some sort outside the building. But they could also be canopies over picnic tables or...
Yes.
During the planning sessions, noise from the nursery and the kids, that was a huge concern.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the nursery right off the sanctuary, the worship area. Mm-hmm.
That's a very good point.
So, Mark, maybe you can explain to our congregation a little bit about the concept of clear space within the building and how we were expanding and what our limitations are.
I will do my best. The thought would be that we would be able to create a clear space that goes all the way from the office workspace at the south across to the top of the nursery. So we'd build in almost like furniture, the boxes that would house the nursery, the classrooms, so they could be removed in the future as we talk about the expansion. And so within those walls, we would be able to do some quieting with the way we construct them. I think the building committee, if I remember correctly, thought that the actual concern might be the noise not coming from the nursery but going into the nursery from the amplification of the stage.
Question in the back.
Excellent point.
That was discussed by the building committee with Mark. And this kind of harkens back to Mark's explanation about the clear span that we need, because we don't want to have any columns in the middle of our worship space. Just there are no columns in the middle of the space we're in right now. So we had some limitations on how wide that could be made at a cost that was reasonable, that Mark believed would fit within our budget. And he maximized what he could do in this clear span without columns within the building. And then we had to initially kind of fit everything in there. It would be possible to perhaps put a hallway between the worship space and the children's areas, but that would then cut back on the amount of worship space we had that would be usable, and would also mean that we would be tearing down more at some point when we expanded. Does that respond to your question?
Yes. It's a great question. And some of these things, again, as we move forward in the plan, will be fleshed out. And so it could be, as you say, screen walls or something like that if it becomes a real factor.
Marianne.
Well, there's one that doesn't show it in the nursery, but yes, that's correct. Again, we were limited funds. We could run sewer lines and that kind of thing to new bathrooms there, but it seemed like that may not be the best use of the dollar at this point, maybe. I don't know. So there is one for the nursery, which is, of course, required, and we wanted to have. And the meeting rooms, I don't know if I mentioned, but when we add the meeting rooms, what was that, Axe, that also adds a second set of bathrooms that are closer to the nursery and to the children's wing.
Lois.
Absolutely.
Yes. Did everybody hear that? Okay. That is absolutely correct. And if you look at page 13, the green area that's there is the original Genesis area. So the clear span without columns is still the same. But what we have done in this is Mark has designed an addition, so to speak, onto that box that was the worship space and had all those other functions that now serves youth, nursery, toddlers, middle school, much more ably with it, much more square footage. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to tell you that in terms of our meeting and discussing these phases, you know, Genesis represents a very, very basic phase of meeting our essential functions. Is it do it in the most convenient way possible? Well, in many areas it does, but there are some areas such as nursery, toddlers, children's church, youth group, where we did have this issue of access through the worship space so that when we're in the middle of a worship service and all of a sudden kids need to come out of those back rooms because they need to go to the restroom or there's a problem, there those doors are being opened and closed, and that may not be convenient for them nor for us. So the building committee really talked about this, and we'll discuss dollars a little bit later, but based upon the whole program that was presented by Mark and discussed with the building committee, we really believed that our Proverbs phase, which is at page 13, if at all possible, should be our first phase. Genesis, of course, yes. Genesis and Proverbs together.
That's rolling one and two together. That's
yes.
Right. The body and head.
And the reason is that we truly believed, after much prayer and discernment, that the mission of our church is so involved with our youth, with our children, with our toddlers, even our infants, with our families, because they are the generations that will carry on the vision that we are creating. And we wanted to serve that segment of our congregation with this initial phase. And we'll talk about the dollars and cents and why later on. In the back. Not been specifically assigned, but rooms are available in at page 13. There are some rooms there. And also in terms of youth and worship, especially midweek worship, it's our full intent that the midweek worship by youth would be using the worship hall. They'd be using the platform, the raised platform, which we can't call a stage when we do this plan. The raised platform. And all the equipment that's there. So we believe that would also include them more closely in what we are doing as adults in our ministry. Does that respond to your question? Okay.
There's a question in front here.
Yes.
Is there any way that you could switch the restrooms with the kitchen so that the restroom area is closer to all the classrooms and where the kids need to go rather than
I kind of like to watch them run. I like to watch them run. See if they can make it. You better plan ahead. No, again, the plan is very flexible. So, yeah, that's absolutely something that could take place. This is kind of the first blush out there. Can we get the spaces in this amount of square footage? How can they go? Yeah, if they can flip one or the other, absolutely. Yeah. The workshops,
The concern of making the food accessible for both drop-off and pickup of the food and other items is there doesn't seem to be much accessibility from the parking lot, road, anything.
Yep, no, that's good. All that kind of stuff needs to be well thought out. Exactly.
Did everybody hear that comment? Okay, it was about the food bank and looking at accessibility for pickup and drop-off of food by people and believing that moving the food bank kitchen area, sliding it towards the more towards the front entrance of the building may facilitate that. Mm-hmm. Mark's response, of course, was that we don't have any of these details in stone. They've not been, Mark did not get these from the mountain. These are things that we can certainly change and make sure that they fit our needs as best as possible. Yes, George.
No. The question was, are we far enough into the plan to know what our roof structure might look like or what the materials might be? And no, that's not really the function of this master plan, because there's a lot more details that need to go into the way the plan actually fits together by space, you know, as we move in further into the process. And then we'll start having some, you know, we need to talk to our structural engineers and our mechanical engineers to find out what we need to do with that, those kind of systems, and fit them in. So, yeah.
Don.
In the Genesis phase now, there's one building. Is it two-story or is it just one single story?
The entire master plan has been designed as a single story until you get to the maximum expansion, which adds the balcony. Good question.
Are you talking about functional two stories, Don, or just an overall height? Okay. Let's talk about overall height.
I'm wondering how you get to the balcony plan. Is that an adding on?
I'm sorry. No, it would not be. It would be within the volume of the existing worship space. The worship space we planned to house that volume. You could imagine, for grins, again, details need to be worked out, but a balcony right around here above the opening there. And that's kind of the thing we would have similar, the thought would be for this master plan. So the volume would already be there, so we weren't adding the new roof or adding new exterior structure. We're just putting in the limbs that hold up a balcony kind of a thing.
So, Mark, the worship space or hall and the fellowship hall would both be a clear story of two stories.
That's correct, yeah. I mean, they would have the essential volume you need to have to make a space appropriately sized. For instance, if this were just an 8-foot ceiling in here, it wouldn't work, right? So again, we'll have the height and volume in those spaces to make sure that they are aesthetically pleasing as well as functionally pleasing.
If you don't ask a question, that's really okay, because you know what? You can always ask us at another time. You can ask us one-on-one. My number's listed on our website. I'll give it to you after we're done. It's on the paperwork? Great. You can call us. Ask us questions. Ask us tough questions. We need to continue this process and make sure that everyone feels absolutely informed about what we are doing. And I shouldn't say what we're doing. What has been put into the master plan and what is being proposed as possible action by the church. Everybody agree to that? Say yes. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay. We are... Andrew, do we want to go into cost now and talk about that?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Go for it.
Thanks, Paul. Well, you know, I have some comments about the cost, but since Mark is the one that put costs together, I think he can put the costs in the best context of what the numbers mean.
Sure.
And then we can kind of go from there.
So at this level, we're at 10,000 feet above the earth, we really don't have an idea finitely what we're looking at. So we put some average square costs of what pieces are costing now around the region. So, for instance, in Genesis, we've got about 14,000 square feet. We estimate somewhere between $85 and $120 a square foot, understanding that $85 is bare bones. It's no luxuries. $120 is probably maybe a tall. It's definitely not a grande. You know, we're talking about trying to keep these finances and use them to the best advantage. So we're not going to be doing a Taj Mahal for these numbers. And so that's what those numbers in the probable cost come out to, is just timesing the square footage times those average square foot costs. Soft costs are added in. Those are the lousy architect fees, as well as other fees you need to pay to the city, administrative costs, furnishing costs, those kind of things that get rubbed into that 30%. So there, you know, it's really a rough window of where do we start from. It's a monkey at a dartboard, really. So those are kind of ideas of you can get something for this. And the numbers are really, you know, this year and next year's numbers. If you want to project out about what you need to for the future phases, well, these numbers are definitely not going to be very accurate. You're going to have to figure out what cost of increase is, of living increase. You know, is China taking all our steel? What do we need to do to figure out those numbers? So the phases are based on this year's numbers, and then you just kind of have to extrapolate for future. It just gives us a ballpark of where to start. Does that answer?
Mark, do the soft costs contain any contingencies for oopses and boo-boos?
Who makes boo-boos?
And changes. Oops?
Changes. Now, we might have changes. There's no oops or boo-boos. This is a flawless plan. but... So, yes, there's typically, you know, there's probably a 5 or 10% contingency to start with, and it shrinks as you get further and further into the details and you can solve more issues. But we have no clue about some of the issues we might come up with until we actually get into the individual phases themselves. So, yeah, there's some contingency numbers in there.
Paul's question is, what is the city going to require in terms of the street access that we may have on 9th Street or on Coram Place? I can tell you this, Paul. For one thing, we haven't gone far enough in the permitting process for them to actually tell us specific requirements because we were still in the master site plan phase of it. I can tell you my experience from the county's standpoint of similar size projects, and that is that we probably aren't going to have to do much of anything with respect to the street on 9th Street. The if we, worst case, what they could require us to do is do a, what you would call maybe a little right turn lane as you're coming down the hill. They could maybe require us to do a little right turn lane. So as traffic backed up to turn right, it would not be on the street. Or they could require us potentially to do another, something similar on the west end of the entrance so that people could get back into 9th Street without being totally backed up. That'd be about the worst case scenario on street improvements that I could see. Mark?
Well, and you guys did have a pre-app with a different plan, and mention really wasn't brought up of major street improvements, off-site street improvements. And that's a valid question because it could add a lot to it.
Yeah, and one more, let me have one more response. Based upon my experience with the city, they probably will not want anything for a street improvement since they let Fred Meyer move in without doing a single improvement to the intersection. Yes.
I was just going to say that right turn lane is already there. That park, there's parking it available is. There that yeah. doesn't need to be parking. Oh. So there already is a right turn lane for that field.
Okay.
And a left turn, I mean, there's a center part too, so if we had to have a left turn area, okay. it's already available in that street.
So, yeah, there's some. As we get further in, obviously, we'll have more and more conversations with the city and try to lead them where we want them to go. A stoplight or a signal or anything there? Only from our drive coming back into 9th.
Yes. Yes.
What about eventual 20 years from now widening of 9th Street to two lanes each direction? What type of a setback does the city require?
At this point, it really doesn't matter because we've got that green space in front, so we're not putting a building or parking there. We've already set back because of the offsets that are required by zoning. So at this point, one, it, maybe you actually want them to do that so that you get some income from selling your property to them. But at this point, it shouldn't affect the plan.
I have a question. When you look at these numbers, am I assuming correctly that this would be turnkey, everything done for us, here, like, you know, Ty Pennington, here's the keys?
Plus or minus a million, yeah. I mean, okay. you know, these numbers are not.
Okay.
But yes, so, you know, plus or minus, you know.
So are there some provisions that could possibly significantly change these numbers with participation from some of our people that are?
Well, as the master plan goes, well, I think.
Are you talking about volunteer labor?
Yeah, and contractors and whoever
absolutely.
To come and help.
Absolutely. Mostly, you know, obviously if you have licensed contractors and subs in your church and they're willing to, you know, do it for a cost or whatever, or free or whatever, that's great. Unlicensed electricians are sometimes frowned upon, and you may not want that anyway. But volunteer labor to help paint, help, you know, scrape whatever, certainly plant trees, that's always, and yes, those numbers would kind of come back out, or you'd use those dollars for other things, so absolutely.
Yes.
I know I read somewhere when I was going through that you addressed the arsenic. No, I didn't mean that. you addressed the arsenic and the soil issue.
Yes.
But I was wondering where that gets addressed, and as far as I know, zoning requirements, if we put the building on top, it, you know, it takes care of some of that. But as far as like the kids' play area and
you that, think that's a problem? Yeah, well, you want
to... Sure. With respect to the lead arsenic, because we have... there's a piece of property on 9th Street that was used as an orchard since probably prior to the turn of the century. So it has some issues with lead arsenic. It's been established. It's there. With respect to... You're right. If the building's on top of land that has lead arsenic... we don't have to remediate that, generally. Also, with respect to parking lots or any other impervious surface that isn't going to allow water, you know, into that and then get that into our groundwater system, also, we'd also be fine there. But anything that's going to basically allow snowmelt water to get into the ground, in those areas we are going to have to remediate. And we have some money that's been put aside by the seller of the property, which was the school district. It's not a tremendous amount of money. I think it's about $30,000. Okay. So if we had to do full-scale remediation, it probably would pay for maybe a third of it, if we were lucky. And so that's the job of the environmental engineering that we would need to have done, and their response in terms of a plan and working with the city to adequately address the concerns of the lead arsenic so that it was no longer a public health issue. You feel we would get everything you needed? Okay, great.
Good question.
Paul.
How about the irrigation program that we have there already? We're going to have to tear that out and put in a new one?
You don't have to. We were able to plan the building so that they miss them, as far as we know.
But I think we want to.
You don't have to.
There's several of us will agree you need to.
Yes, we understand that. Yeah.
My question on your, it looks like you have a archway coming out for dropping off people.
Yeah.
Is that actually going to come out far enough to the circle part of it that we can handicap accessibility will be real good?
Sure. Bidding starts at 5,000. Absolutely. And those are the kind of things that as we get further into it, we're going to say, we'll have a laundry list. And we'll say, okay, this is this bullet line. We want it. It's there kind of a thing. But that was the intent was that we had heard at the workshops, people wanted to make sure we had a covered drop-off area for not just handicapped, but all the, you know, the congregation. So that was kind of an image to help remind us that that's what we wanted to try to have.
Now, one of the things about these financial estimates, if you look at Genesis and look at Proverbs, you will see that the addition of, in our opinion as a building committee, the adequate, useful, and convenient areas for our infants, toddlers, elementary school, middle school, and youth runs about $561,000 to $709,000. In light of the cost of Genesis, that's about a 30% increase. Okay, but there are savings that we probably should talk a little bit about, because if we were to do those two phases at once, there'd be significant savings in soft costs and some construction, in that we're not building an entire exterior wall only then to go back in the next week and tear it down and put in a new addition. We're not going to be putting down carpet in terms of these areas for the youth and then ripping all the carpet out, putting in partition walls and ripping them out, windows and ripping them out. We're actually just doing it all at once. So there could be some very significant savings by doing Proverbs with Genesis.
The other savings you would get is having a contractor on board do both of them. You're not paying for him to remobilize to do another phase, so his costs come down and they get transferred down.
Yeah, so let's say we got it maybe down to 22 or 23% more than the cost of Genesis when we looked at the benefits to our kids, no matter what their age. We just said, boy, this is something we just so highly recommend to the congregation. We hope that that you get all the information that you need and that you also will pray about just taking this little extra stretch beyond Genesis so that we can serve our kids. That is correct.
That's
Paul has asked as you know, we talk about the land as being our land. Okay. Well, that's not exactly true. It is owned by the National Properties, basically kind of sub-agency or department of the Evangelical Covenant Church. The denomination bought that land and wrote a check for it. Well, they're holding it for us, and they are expecting that if we choose to develop there, that we will repay them. Okay, so we will have to repay them. Now, we may get a really good deal from them in terms of how we repay them, but they need to take the money they've spent if we move forward with this project and get reimbursed and then help somebody else. All we're doing is passing this money along so the next church plant can be helped and they can get property, you see. That's why we're paying it back. Yes, Gail.
Does this figure that we have here, does that include the land?
That was our question. Yeah, that was Paul's question. It does not. Well, it includes land because we have to put the building on something. It doesn't pay for the land.
Good question.
Yeah. We'll still be paying for the land in addition to the building. But the land of the cost of the land doesn't go up because we're building more things on it. That's a fixed cost. Yes, Sean. I believe roughly right now it's in the $850,000 range because there is interest that's accrued on it. That's nominal, but it's still accruing because they would be receiving interest if they would have had their money in the bank. And we're going to talk to them a little bit and see if you know how we can phase that repayment back. And I can't promise you that we'll be successful doing that. But it's about $850,000. There is about 7.5 acres, I believe, there at the site. And as you know, it's 7.5 acres of prime commercial land in Wenatchee with access to, you know, the main street in Wenatchee other than Valley Mall Parkway. So it's Grant Road. So it's a pretty valuable piece of property with great views. Bus line going by. Soccer fields, meandering pedestrian trail.
Oh, that's going to be beautiful. No, we're all going to use that.
These gardens with the flowering trees, you know, just gorgeous piece of property. Just did I answer your question? Okay, thanks. I'm sorry if I was being flip. I was, but yeah, thanks. Anything else? Okay. Andrew, did you have something you want to share with us?
Would you like a mic on a stand, or would you like that?
I'll grab a thing up here. One of these.
You stole my spotlight, man.
I did?
I'll come over here. So we've heard about what a plan could be. We need to talk about what we do next, how we do it.